Matthew chapter 5. We're going to preach all the way through the Beatitudes. We may take a break here or there during the Christmas season. We don't have to, because I believe the Beatitudes covers the holiday season, but we will take note of the holidays and make sure that we preach messages that reflect the holiday season. Amen. Let's all stand if we can. We're going to read Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12, I believe. 1 through 12. Matthew 5, 1 through 12. Second sermon out of the Beatitudes. And Jesus is speaking here in chapter 5 of Matthew. He says, "Seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." Amen. Father, thank you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, whose love for us, Father God, was so great that he died on a cross for us, Father God, displaying the humility that's necessary for any of us to inherit the kingdom of God. So we pray right now, Father God, that you would just be present among us, and that your power would touch a heart, touch a soul, touch a mind, that someone would leave here today, Father God, with a new attitude, with a new heart, with a new love for the things of God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. How many got caught last week? Somebody asked me, "How you doing today?" And you said, "Blessed." How many times did we use the word "blessed" this past week? Some of us, we use it just randomly. We just blessed. Everything's blessed. Somebody, "How you doing?" "Blessed." "How was your day at work?" "Blessed." "How was your day at school?" "Blessed." We learned last week that those that are truly blessed are right with God. Those that are truly blessed are right with God. Those that would say, "I'm blessed," don't mean you have some nice stuff or something good happened to you. One of your scratchers, you hit for $50, and man, I was blessed. Blessed means you right with God. So when someone say, "Well, how are you doing?" "I'm blessed." You're really saying, me and God are in a good relationship. Amen. That I'm walking with the Lord. That I'm walking closely with the Lord. He's a constant companion of mine. Don't get more blessed than that. Amen. Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." That's huge. What's it mean to be poor in spirit? It means the opposite of being prideful. Amen. It means the opposite of being prideful. Let's look at it from the back. Here's a person that's not poor in spirit. I really don't need no amens. It says, an angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression, aboundeth in sin. Sin, he's just full of sin. Proverbs 29:22. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. So you're falling, you're struggling, can't get along with folks, got odds with folks, got beef with folks, most likely it's pride. And pride was the first sin ever committed. Satan was said that pride lifted him up. He didn't want to be second in charge, second in command, however it was. He wanted to be number one. Going through Proverbs 29, verse 24 says this, and I thought about this. I think about Satan, because he's a thief. He's a thief, and he's a liar.
Yes, yes.
And he got some partners. He got some folks that run with him. I listened to y'all when y'all up here praying. I listened to Sylvia. Okay? Here's what I heard. Y'all might not have heard it. Proverbs 29 and 24 says, whoso is a partner with a thief hated his own soul.
Amen.
If you know you're not right with God, if you know you're not in a right relationship with God, but there's only one other relationship you could be in. Okay? So if you're not blessed, if you're not poor in spirit, then you full of pride. And the word of God said, whosoever is a partner with a thief hated his own soul. He heareth cursing and betrayeth and will not speak it. That's really what it says. He heareth the word of God, but won't apply it to his life or her life. Proverbs 16:18. Pride go before destruction. Prideful person, you're too prideful to say I'm sorry. You're too prideful to say I was wrong. You're too prideful to say I didn't tell the truth. You're headed for destruction.
Amen.
Proverbs 16:18, pride go before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. What's a haughty spirit? You think you got it all together. And you just look down on folks because you high and lifted up. This is the opposite of poor in spirit. I'm just giving you some of these scriptures I had came to my mind. Here's Proverbs 16:17. Think about this. I was listening to some Tremaine Hawkins this weekend. She's talking about the highway to heaven. She sang it. Here's what Solomon said. He said, the highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul. Mm-hmm. Pride goes before destruction.
Amen.
And a haughty spirit before a fall.
Amen.
I teased Jeremy about the bomb was sick and Jeremy would show up to church. And I said, get one of them little buttons. Give her one of them little buttons so if she fall and you ain't there, you in church, and she fall, just hit the button. Bond didn't like that. Bond didn't like that. But my point is, you know what? We have a button. And when we fall,
amen,
we can push that button.
Amen.
And we get right with God.
Amen. Because
we're going to fall now.
Amen.
We're not preaching a message where, you know, once you become a, once you get saved, you perfect it. Okay? You perfect it. You perfect. You're going to fall. I'm going to fall. But I'm going to hit that button.
Amen.
And get back in right relationship with God. Because I want to be blessed. I had an opportunity to talk to the young people this morning, teaching the teens this morning, and just talking to them about being in a right relationship with God. Because when you're in a right relationship with God, now you can make your petitions. Now tell them, put me on your prayer list if you're right with God.
Amen.
Need to have a prayer list. But you no use having one if you're not right with God. Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit. And theirs, it's almost like he could have said, and theirs only is the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the humble. Blessed are the humble. How humble are you? Jesus had a story he told about the kingdom. So we think the kingdom can be bought. It's not. It's not bought. It's not given because of your race. You know, there's some folks out there teaching black liberation theology. Yeah, black liberation theology. They teach it. Somebody look it up. I look it up. And they teach that God came, that Jesus came and died for the black man. And then you hear the other side of it. They say, well, you know, Christianity, I hear it all the time. Hearing it more lately. Where's the white man's religion? No, it's not. It's for the poor in spirit.
Amen.
It's for the poor in spirit. He says, Luke 18, Jesus talking and watching. And the Pharisees thought they had it all together. They thought they had it all together. Because they thought their works was going to get them in. They thought what they do was going to get them in. And Jesus basically was saying, blessed are the poor in spirit. He said, two men went up to the temple to pray. Luke 18, 10. One a Pharisee and the other a publican. And then the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, saying, God, I thank thee that I'm not like other men, or extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even this publican. I point at you literally. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all I possess, and the publican standing afar off would not so much as lift up his eyes unto heaven, but smote his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. See that he made it personal.
Amen.
See the first person had religion. Religion won't get you into heaven.
Amen.
Okay? I hear people say all the time, you know, they see me at work and say, well, you chap, you religious man. I'm not a religious man.
Amen.
Let's get that straight. I'm not religious. Okay?
Amen.
I'm saved.
Amen.
I've been born again. But I'm not religious. I have a personal relationship with the Lord.
Amen.
Can't buy it. You can't take it by force. You can send 20,000 soldiers over to somewhere and fighter jets and Navy SEALs and nuclear weapons. You can't overpower it.
Amen.
Okay? You get it through humility. You get it by being poor in spirit. You get it like Zacchaeus got it.
Amen.
He had to come down from the tree. You get it like Matthew got it. Matthew had to walk away from the tax booth or walk away from an immoral lifestyle. That's how Matthew got it.
Amen.
Nicodemus got it because he realized that he had to be saved, that he had to be born again.
Amen.
And really what Jesus is saying, if you're not born again, The kingdom of God is not yours.
Amen.
And we want a lot of preachers don't want to preach that today. Because we want everybody to leave up out of here happy.
Uh-huh.
And I heard Sylvia say, next week ain't guaranteed for any of us.
Amen.
When you can leave out of here happy and not born again, never having come down from the tree, or never having walked away from the moral lifestyle and never been born again, and you happy. And you heard some good singing. But you must be born again. And that's critical.
Amen.
But what Jesus is saying, to be born again, you have to be poor in spirit.
Amen.
You have to be poor in spirit. You have to realize that. You have to realize who you are. And you have to realize, I have a great need for the things of God. And you have to come to an understanding that I'm not right with God. This is what makes it personal. Okay, because I can't talk about Minister Madison or Minister Bryant. I got to be personal with me. Am I right with God? Okay? Am I dealing with things properly? Is this word really real to me? Is it alive, as someone said? Is it alive in me? Is it causing me to do things that please God? Is my life glorifying God? Am I worthy of Him dying on Calvary's cross? Can I say like Paul in 1 Corinthians 10:31, and all that you eat, drink, and do to the glory of God?
Yes.
Have you come to that place? Have you come to that place where when the hymnals sings a song, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Blind Bartimaeus, he got it. The dying leper got it. The woman with the issue of blood, she had to come to a place. Well, she had nowhere else to turn. Sometimes God will do that to you.
Amen.
She ran out of resources. She had no hope. And somebody told her about Jesus.
Amen.
How about the woman caught in the act of adultery and arrested? She should have been stoned. And Jesus said, go and sin no more.
Amen.
He couldn't have told her that if he didn't equip her to do it.
Amen.
It takes power to fight off sin. And that power can't come from you. It won't come from you. You just ain't strong enough. That sin nature in you is just love sinning. You need a new nature.
Yeah.
Need to be saved. The lunatic from Gadara, he got it. He was saved. And when he received the Holy Spirit, he wanted to be with Jesus. He didn't even want to go home. He said, I want to be with you. Wherever you are, I want to be. Prodigal son. The list is long. Jesus told all these stories because he's trying to strike a core in you, trying to wake somebody up.
Amen.
Mr. Bryant talked about the lunatic from Gadara. Listen, I always say, and I told Mr. Bryant, we one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
We either the one telling the story or we the one the story is about.
Amen.
Okay? And really, we never the one telling the story. And Minister Bryant said, whether you got one demon or 6,000 in you, it don't take one.
Yeah.
Listen, here's something that's interesting. He didn't say, blessed are the spiritually poor. Like, did y'all hear what I said? He didn't say blessed are the spiritually poor, but he said blessed are the poor in spirit. See, the spiritually poor don't care about their spirituality. They don't care about the things of God. The things of God are not sweet to them. Okay? Then in Revelation 3 and 17 talks about the church of Laodicea, and I'm pretty sure we're familiar with the church of Laodicea. It was what they called the lukewarm church. The lukewarm church. See, the lukewarm church don't care whether they hot or cold. Now, I'm a coffee drinker. So I like to call me hot. Somebody give you a lukewarm cup of coffee, you probably gonna set it back.
Amen.
You want to see it steaming a little bit. And God wants to see his people steaming a little bit.
Amen.
Oh, Lord have mercy. Listen to what he says. He says, the church of Laodicea. This is the church today now. Okay? He says, verse 14, unto the angel of the church of Laodicea, write. These things say the Amen, the faithful, and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. It's a nice resume. I know thy works. Pastor may not know.
Amen.
Okay. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. Cold nor hot. I would thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Why? Why did Jesus reject his church? Because thou sayest, verse 17, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, including the Spirit of God. And knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, and blind and naked. How about that? All that God has done for the people of God.
Amen.
Dying on the cross. Yes. Stepping out of glory. Scourged and mocked and spit on. And for someone to say they was in church all their life to show up wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. What a shame. What a shame. See, if a person's not pouring spirit, you don't get the first one right, because we serve a God of order. See, if you don't get the first one right, there's no mourning. There's no meekness. There's no hunger and thirsting. Because if you don't have the Spirit of God in you, none of the other stuff going to happen.
Amen.
Okay? You're not going to be mourning. You're not going to be meek. You're not going to be hungry and thirsting for righteousness. You're not going to be merciful. There's no way. And Jesus is saying his first step here, blessed are the poor in spirit. And theirs, he said, theirs is the kingdom of God. And theirs only. Spirit check. This is what we're going to do in a minute here. Examine yourself.
Amen.
Examine yourself. Make sure that you have the right stuff. Because tomorrow not guaranteed.
Amen.
Next year not guaranteed. Now Jesus also didn't say, not only did he not say, blessed are the spiritually poor, he didn't say, blessed are the poor spirited. See, some folks are just poor spirited. They're just weak. Just weak. I mean, the church is just full of cowards. Oh, Pastor, here you go. No, the church is, honestly, the church is full of Christians. Say they're Christians, they ain't standing for nothing.
Amen.
They're not standing for nothing. I'm a Christian, but I'm a Christian in name only.
Uh-huh.
When it come down to something that's going to make me a little uncomfortable, it's going to cause me a little persecution, I'm just going to back off a little. And this is normal, folks. Don't think it don't happen to y'all's pastor. It do. We all get confronted on a daily basis. Our faith is tested in this sinful, sick world every day.
Amen.
And no one in here is going to say, I'm strong all the time.
Amen.
We're going to bend. Timothy had that problem, and Paul was constantly dealing with Timothy. Timothy means timid. Paul dealt with him all the time. In 2 Timothy 1 and 6, he said, wherefore I put thee in remembrance, Timothy, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee. And sometimes we just need to stir it up. Sometimes we need to stir it up. We need to stir it up. Because we get complacent. And we just put it in cruise control. Paul told Timothy, he says in 1 Timothy 1:18, stayed on Timothy. He said, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before thee, that thou that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. He said, Timothy, you need to stay strong. And I say this to some of you guys out there, because I know we get weak. This world is just bombarding us with the things that we see, the things that we have to deal with, whether it's coworkers or classmates, could be family members. We just being worn down. And that's the job of Satan. He wears us down. Wears us down to the point where we think this world is so beautiful. We think this is as good as it gets. And some of us, we just hold on to this world. Heard a guy singing. He said, everybody wants to go to heaven, but no one wants to die. We all want it. We all want to go to heaven, but we don't want to suffer. We don't want to suffer. One more lesson Paul taught Timothy. Y'all familiar with it? Meaning it's not for the poor in spirit. He said, Timothy, this ain't for the weak. He said, Timothy, it's not for the weak. I say this all the time. I tell Matthew, Jeremy, all of us, myself. Paul said, Timothy, listen. You preach the word, Timothy. Because they didn't want to hear it then. And you know what? Timothy might have been tempted to say, you know what they don't want to hear? They don't want to hear sermons on being saved and being born again. They don't want to hear what you did on Calvary's cross. People don't want to hear it. They want to hear the five love languages. No. Paul told Timothy, listen, Timothy. You preach the word. You preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Amen. Talking to these two ministers this morning when we just meet on Sunday morning, and I asked them, are you getting stronger? Are you guys getting stronger? And really what I mean is, are you getting stronger enough where you living out some of these things that we learning and teaching? Are they affecting your marriages and affecting the way you work and the way you deal with people? Yeah. The word has to. Yeah. It has to. He didn't say, blessed are those who make themselves poor. You know, there's a whole lot of religions out there tell you you got to make yourself poor. You know, don't get married. Don't do this. Don't do that. Go out into the desert. The word didn't say that. That's not what he's saying. He says, when you hear the gospel message ought to make you poor. It ought to make you poor. When you realize what God has done for you. Okay? When you realize who you were and who what God did and who you are now, that ought to make you poor in spirit. That ought to make you poor in spirit when you know. But how are you going to know if the Timothy's out there is not preaching the word of God, proclaiming the word of God, being a herald for Christ? You know, a herald only did what thus said the Lord. He didn't alter the message at all. He got the message from the king, went out, dun, 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 thus say the king. That was it. He didn't try to make it fancy. Well, you know, I gotta shape it up a little bit over here and bend it. They might not like this. Take this out to add this. He didn't do that. Preach the word. Now the word ought to make you. It ought to make you humble. It ought to make you poor in spirit. See, we don't like being poor in spirit. We think that means weak. That means being strong. That means you are not operating on your own strength no more. Amen. See, this is what I like about. I'm not operating on my own strength. Amen. I'm operating on the power of God. I can do some stuff. I can say like Paul. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, who restores me, who empowers me, who encourages me, who forgives me. Yes. Mm. Yes. Yes. I said, you a preacher though. No? That ain't what it means. That's right. I'm a man first. Paul said this in Ephesians. He said, Ephesians 2:1. And you have he quickened, made alive. This is who we were. You didn't know where you were, who you were before. You know who you are. And you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Now, if you're still dead in trespasses and sin, you need to ask the Lord, quicken me. Shake me up. Stir me up. Wake me up out of this mess before it's too late.
Yes, yes.
And you have it quickened. Some folks ain't been quickened. They still dead in their trespasses and sin and don't want to be quickened.
Uh-huh.
They don't want to wake up. I'm enjoying this sinful ride.
Uh-huh.
I'm enjoying this sinful journey. I'm enjoying my relationship with hell and Satan and devil. I'm enjoying it. Don't wake me up. That's for you. And you know what? If you feel like that, you won't be woke up. You won't be woke up. Enjoy your ride. But the word of God says this, and you have he quickened who were dead in trespass and sin. Dead. Trespass and sin. Just dead. Just spiritually dead. Nothing bothered you. Nothing bothered you. No, the word of God had no effect on you. You were spiritually dead. Walking around like you alive, but you really spiritually dead. You don't care about people. You don't care about things of God. You don't care about the word of God. You don't care about fellowship. You don't care about nothing. It's all about me. Amen. Woke her up. Quickened her. Listen. Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world. And we did. Come on now. I know everybody in here ain't been saved all their life. Ain't nobody. How many in here's father was a preacher? Anybody in here got a father was a pastor? Okay. Paul will say, I'm with you now. Listen, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world. What is the course of this world? Devil. We serve them too. Okay.
Amen.
According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. See, when your children disobedient, they ain't saved. And if they ain't saved, listen, you can bring them here all you want. And we can baptize them all. I'll baptize them all. Like I always say, y'all heard me say it all the time. They go down and just dry devil, wet devil. And they dry them right off and they right back to doing what they was doing. Listen, here's what Paul says. Among whom we all. Here's Paul. I like this. He didn't say you. He said, among whom we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Boy, when you get something new, you say that. If you get something new, you want to show it off. I don't care if it's new tennis shoes, new house shoes. You want to show it off. You get something new. Show that new nature off. Oh, show that new nature off. Listen, go to school tomorrow or go to work tomorrow and say, I got a new nature. What you think? I ain't cussing no more. I ain't acting a fool no more. I ain't falling asleep in class no more. I ain't lying no more. I got a new nature.
Amen.
I ain't running late all the time no more. Nah, picking. New nature ain't covered that. I be watching on my job all say folks running in. They come in, punch the clock, go back, park their car. State employees. Listen.
But God.
Oh my goodness. But God, who is rich in mercy. You need some mercy.
Yes.
Need some mercy. God is rich in it. Mm-hmm. And he's coming to me. I'm running low on it. I barely got enough for myself. But God is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. What's that mean? He loved us enough to die for us. He loved us enough to stay on the cross for us. He loved us enough to rise from the grave. He loved us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. He loved us. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. We love him. He loved us. We was loving the devil. He loved us. Even when we were what? Dead in sins. How about that? Even though he was dead in sins, have quickened us together with Christ. For by grace are you saved. He loved us. He loved us. Well, blessed are the poor in spirit. How's your spirit? How you doing so far? See, you can't mourn until you're poor in spirit. You can't be meek toward others until you're poor in spirit. We can stop right now and preach on blessed are the poor in spirit next week. Because we can't go to mourning, because you're not going to mourn if you're not poor in spirit. You're not going to be meek towards others until you're poor in spirit. You will never thirst after righteousness until you're poor in spirit. And you will never be merciful to folks until you're poor in spirit. See, some people say, well, I'm not poor in spirit, but I'm merciful. No, don't work like that. You got to get number one first. See, if you're not poor in spirit, you can't jump to two and three. Okay? See, we do this with spiritual gifts. You take the spiritual gifts and you put the list out of all the spiritual gifts. And you can pick and choose what spiritual gifts you want to have based on your schedule or your workload. Yeah, you know what? I think I might have the gift of leadership or administration or teaching or a gift of knowledge or wisdom. But if I tell the pastor I have that, he's going to want me to do something. So everybody goes to the bottom of the list. See, everybody goes to the bottom of the list. You can't even buy a CD no more. And then folks singing in tongues. I listened to some Donnie McClurk and stuff, just singing in tongues. I said, come on, man. How you singing in tongues when the word of God says, if you don't say, make a sound where people understand, how can they say amen? I can't even say amen to some of the stuff because everybody's singing in tongues now. See, you can pick and choose which ones you want. Well, maybe, you know, I have the gift of giving. The gift of hospitality. Folks need some visitors. Folks need some company. Folks need a phone call. Well, no, you know, like the church, nobody got no gifts in the church anymore. We just take the last one. I'll just speak in tongues. I can do that in my closet. Oh, well, what gifts do you have? I don't think you can have any other gifts if you don't have this Holy Spirit. Jesus knew that. Jesus said, you know what? You can't do nothing for me without the Spirit of God.
Amen.
And really, and I tell you all the story about the Chinese man that came to America, the Chinese missionary came to America, seen all the mega churches, seen all the beautiful churches and all everything he's seen. And he was getting back on the plane and they put the mic in his face and they said, what impressed you the most about America's churches? He said, they could do so much. That they could do so much without the Holy Ghost. That's what he's saying. He said that they could do so much without the Spirit of God working in their lives. Jesus in John 15 said this, verse 1. He said, I am the true vine. He said, I am the true vine. And my Father is the husbandman. Every man, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth, that it may bring forth more fruit. See, we don't like to purge nothing. We just let everything grow wild. Sometimes you got to back some stuff off. Cindy and I, when we was living in Middle Ridge, we had some burning bushes in the driveway. They were beautiful. And, you know, she come home one day and I had purged them things down. I had trimmed them down, you know, because I was a husband man. And she come home, she like to hit the ceiling. What happened to my burning bush? I said, you got to purge them. They was running wild. And the next year they come back, they were so beautiful. She's like, yeah, you a good husband. Listen, now ye are clean. This is interesting here. This is Jesus talking. You are clean, how Jesus? Through the word which I have spoken unto you. You want to clean up? You want to clean up? Can't spiritual sing it, so I want to clean up where I messed up. Starting all over again. You want to clean up? I want to clean up. Pastor, I want to clean up my life. I got some things I need to clean up. The word of God gives you all the answers. Here's how you do it. He said, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. He says, here's how. Abide in me. And I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except you abide in me. Now, the question has to be asked, what are you abiding in? I am the vine. Ye are the branches. See, we want to be the vines. No, Jesus, I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me. Then you want to get right with God. Somebody says, you know what? I'm hearing what you're saying because I really, really, really want to be right with God. Then here's how you do it. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Much fruit. Much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Now that don't mean you can't put on a show. Okay, that don't mean you can't put on a show. See, because the church doing everything the world doing. If the world doing it, we bring it in the church. Okay, so that doesn't mean you can't put on a show. Okay, what it means is Jesus ain't gonna be at the show. He's not gonna be there. We got a whole lot of showtime. Preacher trainers, we call them. Preacher, you know, preacher trainers. Half preacher, half entertainer. Let me tell you something. Preachers. Men of God, women of God. Think about this. What does the poor in spirit look like? Somebody said, Pastor, what does it look like? I got so many illustrations, I don't even know where to start. I really don't even know where to start. I'm going to start with David. I like this story of David and Goliath. Because, see, we got some giants in our lives. Some of us in here right now got some giants. We got some giant things that we need to deal with. I mean, just big in our life. When we look at it, we like, whoa, that's a big thing I got to deal with, Pastor. If I'm going to get right with God, I got to deal with this giant. 7 and 8 foot tall. David was working in the field. His father called him and said, David, I need you to take some cheese out to your brothers. They out there battling. They weren't doing nothing. 1 Samuel 17:34. I'm going to have to read some of this because it's gives us a good story. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. He got mad at David when he seen David show up. And he said, why comest thou down here? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? Let me say this. If you're going to be poor in spirit, I was telling the boys that this morning in class, if you're going to be poor in spirit, you're going to be different. You ain't going to be popular. Everybody ain't going to like you, and you're going to have obstacles. David, before David could slay this giant, he had to deal with some obstacles. The first one was his brothers. The first one he had to deal with is family. Family mess. Family will mess you up. You have to be careful dealing with family. Here's his brother. I know thy pride and in thy naughtiness of thy heart. Well, God said David was a man after his own heart. So the brother seen something God didn't see in David. In the world, we see something in you that God don't see. Call you hypocrite. Phony and all that. And that's what David's brother was saying to him. He said, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. Watch David's classic response. And David said, what? What have I done? What have I now done? So he obviously was used to them ridiculing him. Okay? He said, is there not a cause? Really what he was saying, there ain't no battle going on down here. And if you read all the story, they was in there shaking in their boots. Every time Goliath called them out, they was shaking in their boots. And David was like, is there not a cause? You bunch of cowards down here. Trying to fight giants in your own strength. Remember that. If you don't remember nothing else about this, you can't fight giants in your own strength. You need the power of God in your life to deal with stuff. And see, we go to the sites, we go to the council, we got all this stuff. And ain't none of them giving you the power of God. We need the power of God. And he turned from him. That's what you got to do. He turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard, which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul. And he sent for him. Saul had a little bit of sense. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. How about that? Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. How about that? Now watch Saul's response. And you'll get this. When you tell somebody, I want to get myself together, I want the power of God working in my life, they're going to criticize you. They're going to critique you. They're going to examine you. You ain't big and bad enough to do it. You too far gone. You've been sinning all your life. Ain't no way you're going to ever beat that addiction. Ain't no way you will never walk away from that relationship. You've been in that mess a long time. Look at verse 33. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. See when unsaved folks try to examine the man of God, they just all messed up. See, Saul only seeing David as a youth. He didn't see David right. God, he was not spiritual. He didn't see David as a man sent from God. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went after him and smote him and delivered him out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Okay? David knew how to deal with giants. And thy servant slew both a lion and a bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he have defiled the armies of the living God. And what Sylvia said, the living God. And David said, moreover, now, he got the Spirit of God working in him, Deacon Oliver. And David said, moreover, the Lord, he didn't take credit for it. He knew where his power came from. Okay? He knew his source of power in different places. If you're going to deal with giants, you better know the power ain't coming from you. It's not coming from you. You're going to deal with giants. It's got to come from a source outside of you, because the only power in us is the flesh. And the flesh ain't trying to let go of no demons. And David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, the Lord be with thee. I think a little sarcasm there. Go ahead, you little crazy little boy. I'm going to jump all the way down to verse 45. And then said David to the Philistine. He didn't call him out. He didn't cuss David out. Called him all kind of names, bad stuff. Giants don't talk nice. Giants don't talk nice. They say bad stuff about the men of God. So David said unto the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. This day the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thy head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and of the wild beasts of the earth, and the earth may know, I like this, that there is a God in Israel. Amen. Listen, David was poor in spirit, but strong in the Lord. Strong in the Lord. Let me give you one more. I don't even know where I'm at for time, but I have so many. Poor in spirit. How about Mary? Y'all know I love Mary. I love Mary. I love Mary. Mary says this in Luke 1:38. You know, the angel Gabriel had came. Let me go talk to you. Right, and I'm gonna close with this. No matter what Vaughn say back there. I understand. Luke 1. What a great story. Sometimes we wonder, you know, we got Mary, where we praying to Mary and all that. Mary said, don't pray to me. Amen. Mary said, don't pray to me. You know, don't give me all that. That's why they couldn't find Mary's body neither. They don't nobody know where Mary's buried. The Pope may know. I ain't gonna say that. Listen, the birth of the Lord, verse 26 of Luke 1. Great story. Great story. It says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazarene. Man, Pastor, you way up there. And we know the story. The angel came, and the angel came to Mary in verse 28. And the angel came unto her and said, hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. What's he talking about? The Lord is with thee. Mary knew the Lord. Mary was right with God. Mary was blessed of God. Mary was in a right relationship with God. Mary understood the times. The Old Testament had prophesied that the baby Jesus was going to be born at this time. And Mary was right with God. And she knew that she had a shot. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying. Troubled at his saying. Not scared. Troubled. Because she knew the Bible. She knew the word of God. And she was troubled at his saying. And cast her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Why is he talking to me like this? Why is this angel coming to me? And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary. For thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. I'm getting there. Mary was poor in spirit. And he shall be great. And he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And in his kingdom there shall be no end. And then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. And therefore the also the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God.
Amen.
And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who is called barren. Now here we get to Mary. I have to go all the way back and bring everything into context. But listen, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. Amen. Now here's Mary. Interesting choice of words. And Mary said to the angel, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto you, be it unto me, according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. What's Mary saying? Mary said, "I am a servant of God. I am the handmaid of the Lord." Hey, listen, she took the lowest position. A handmaid would have been someone who, when you walked in the door, they'd clean your feet. Mary said, I am fit to be tied. I am whatever you need me to be. And that's what the poor in spirit do. They get out of the way. And they let God use them. And you know what? The church is desperate for some folks that are poor in spirit. Amen. Poor in spirit. Poor in spirit. You know what that looks like? I got clothes. I watch who got the baby over there. Jay holding that one, and we got one in the back. Who's holding that one? She's sleeping? Listen, here's what it looks like. Think about this verse, you new mothers and fathers. It says, "Whosoever therefore shall humble themselves as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Amen. What's he talking about? What's he trying to get at? What he's saying, the person that's poor in spirit, the person that's poor in spirit is like a little child. And if you don't take care of that little child, Jackie and Jake, if you don't take care of that little child, the Bryant family and Shayna, that child will suffer. That child will suffer and starve and die. Why? Because that child depends on the mother and the father to nourish them and to care for them and to feed, to make sure they have everything they're supposed to have. And God is saying the same thing. God is saying the same thing to the person who's poor spirit. In Matthew 19:14, he said, "But Jesus said, suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me." Why? "For such is the kingdom of heaven." What's God saying? If you want to get to heaven, you got to be like a little child. You got to trust in the Lord. Amen. Totally. With everything you have. You're not getting into heaven on your own terms. Amen. You're not going to choose which one of these beatitudes fits you. You're going to get them all. And you're going to start with being poor in spirit. You're going to start right there. You're going to be poor in spirit. So, how you doing? Are you poor in spirit? Or is your spirit strong? Don't need to read the Bible or study or do daily devotions, and you have no interest in the things of God, and you know what? You take it or leave it. Well, those that enter the kingdom of heaven will be under the rule of the kingdom right now. Right now. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the people.